Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and SiriusXM Channel 80 were presented by Progressive Insurance. You should play along with us and download the ESPN Tournament Challenge app presented by WebEx to fill out your brackets. Today is your last day to fill out your men's brackets. Free and easy. Those are two great things. Key, you know, you ask a good question. Coming in, you know, we laugh and ha-ha, but Jay,
set his coach up.
Why did you try to fight your coach?
First off, you know Key is always doing some kind of mischievous kind of stuff when his voice goes. He, like, literally, people, during the break, everybody else will be talking, he'll be like, hey, Jay.
Jay.
I'm like, oh, your voice changed. And I'm typically like, what's up? He's like, you have hardwood floors?
What does that have to do with you attacking your coach, though?
Because you like to make stuff up. You like to build things more than what they are. That's how you're built.
That is so false.
Do the voice for me.
That you would send that out there when, in fact.
Say it.
Did you not say,
hey, Jay,
that you were so angry you started pounding your fist into your hand? Did you not say that?
Yes, I had a Will Ferrell old school moment where I reflected 2 minutes later and be like, what the hell just happened?
Okay, so let me ask you this question.
But I didn't try to fight Coach K.
Okay, did you not want to kick his ass?
Oh, I wanted to.
Okay, so that's what Max is saying.
But wanting to do something and trying to fight somebody, it's not the same thing.
So you aggressively striking your hand.
Hey, please refrain from using words aggressively associated with
adjectives.
A black man. Right?
Okay,
right,
strike that.
It doesn't make me feel
strike that.
Thank you.
You using your fist balled up.
That's still like carries
into the palm of your hand.
Like,
well, we could ask Carly.
Yeah, let's ask Carly Lloyd, two-time Olympic gold medalist.
I don't want to put Carly in that situation.
Two-time World Cup champion joins us. Well, no. Let's ask Carly. Carly, good morning. Why do you think that Jay wanted to fight Coach K?
Oh my God.
I think every athlete wants to fight their coach at some point, right?
Did you ever feel that way?
Like a love-hate relationship sometimes.
Did you ever feel that way?
Did I?
Yeah. Have you ever felt that angry at a coach?
Yeah, but not, I wouldn't take it as far as fighting.
Not as far as Jay.
Do my business on the field.
Carly, you're from Jersey. Don't sleep on it. We know what time it is. We know what time it is.
That is true.
Well, you say you didn't seriously want to fight your coach, but how serious do you want to try and kick an NFL field goal?
I mean, options are always open. Got to get this kicking leg going. Start practicing.
Would you if a team reached out to you, would you seriously consider trying out?
Yeah, I think if the circumstances were, win-win for both parties, potentially. Yeah, definitely not ruling it out.
So, Carly, being from Jersey, are you a Giants fan? Are you a Jets fan? I am curious if this were to come to fruition, if you were to get that call, like, who would that call need to come from in order for you to be like, you know what, okay, the money's great, but, like, the opportunity just seems like it's right because I like you. What team would that be?
Well, I'm an Eagles fan, so I've been an Eagles fan since I was a little girl, closer to Philly. Jersey's kind of divided into several parts, so
when you meet
a Jersey person, it's always what exit are you from, and then, what sports team do you root for. So for me, it's always been the Philadelphia teams. So,
A pox on your house, Carly Lloyd.
And one of our producers is from Philly, and I always say, well, South Jersey. But he's like, no, it's Philly.
They booed Santa Claus. How could you be an Eagle fan?
What? So, Carly, with that being said, let me ask you, because I've been around Abby Wambach. I trained out in California with the women's team for a while when I was coming back through physical therapy. And it always felt like in order for them to get attention for what you guys have been able to accomplish, it blew my mind, right? Because you guys are doing things that our men's team, that just teams in general for World Cup and for soccer don't achieve. You guys are doing incredible things. And I hear about it every single day because my wife is a huge, footy fan. Do you feel like these things, these kind of topics need to be created in order for there to be attention on what's actually happening in USA women's soccer?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, our success along the years of the national team has led to the support we've had. I mean, if we were if we were losing, we would never gain this traction. We would never gain the support that we have. So, you know, I really feel like the wave came in 2011 when we actually lost the World Cup, but we came home and, you know, every American treated us as if we were a hero, like we won. I mean, we were devastated, but that wave just kept building. And then 2015, we win in Canada and things just explode. So, you know, I just think over the years we've had to win. We've had to prove ourselves there, you know, and then it's kind of still not enough. And then we have to keep going. But absolutely, you know, I think that there's a lot of things that bring attention to many different players that, you know, doesn't necessarily have to be about soccer. So, you know, it's a bigger thing that us as women have to do, whereas majority of men, you know, the NFL is the NFL, NBA is the NBA, Major League Baseball. I mean, these sports have just been huge and have had a huge following for so long, and we've just had to do a lot more.
Carly, I had you on the boardroom a couple of years ago, you, Lindsey Vonn, and we were talking about just some of the obstacles that women have to face in sports. Can you just enlighten us in the audience about what are some of the things that men don't have to go through that women do in order to actually achieve the recognition for the greatness that they actually display in their sport?
Well, for starters, I mean, you know, us women, you know, majority of us want to have families. So whether you're adopting, whether you're giving birth to a child, you know, that comes into play. And for me, I didn't want to have kids while I was playing because I knew I couldn't be the best soccer player. And I also couldn't be the best mom at the same time. Could I have done it? Absolutely. There's been amazing women that have done it throughout the course of the teams. But that's something that, you know, I chose not to, because I knew that it would be, you know, it would be hard to come back and all of that. So that's one challenge. You know, another challenge is just getting the awareness out, you know, having to do a lot of interviews and PR. And, you know, I think when opportunities come for all of us, we try to do all of them because we just feel this duty that we have to continue to grow the sport. You know, whereas men, they're picking and choosing. You know, they're not doing as much media type stuff as we are. The pay disparity, the treatment, you know, it's different. But, you know, I must say that, you know, we've all been brave enough to go down this fight of fighting for what we deserve. And, you know, it's no longer just kind of be grateful for what you have. So that's been a really important fight. And, you know, me being retired, you know, I'm not knocking with the men yet. I mean, the men make incredible money, but I can't just sit on my couch and chill out. You know, I have to retire. I retired nearly at the age of 40. You know, hopefully have another couple decades, but, you know, I've got to be smart and I have to continue to work and continue to find things to do. So that's a big difference.
Carly Lloyd, two-time Olympic gold medalist and two-time World Cup champion, joining us this morning on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Carly, you recently said on the Hope Solo Speaks podcast that you hated playing for the team in your final years before you retired last year. What was it? It wasn't fighting the coach, so what was it?
I think I've beat this dead horse here. But no, I mean, you know, for me, it's, we talk about culture, right? There's a culture within every sports team, within every business company. And when you have good culture from the top down and all around, usually that's where teams are successful. You know, you don't hear a team win a championship and they say, you know, we all hated one another. We all didn't get along and we all didn't want to win, but that's why we won. You know, that doesn't happen. There's a reoccurring theme where, you know, you're like family. You believe in one another. You have each other's back. You are all aiming for the same collective goal, and that is to win. And so for me, you know, of course, yeah, hate's a strong word, but you know, I kind of hated the culture and the atmosphere that, you know, I was going into every day. You know, whether you walk down a hallway and you pass by your teammate and that teammate can't even look up, look at you and say hello. For me, there's a problem with the culture. You know, if you're sitting at a table with your teammates and, you know, you can't talk to somebody, you know, at the end of the day, it comes down to just being a good human being and treating everyone with the same amount of respect that you would like to receive. So it was challenging going in, and I did it. I put a smile on my face every single day. I tried to lead by example and work hard every single day and accept any role that I was given, whether that was coming off the bench, whether that was starting. But my hopes is that, you know, I left speaking about this to the team, to the staff. And my hope now about speaking about this is that, you know, these younger players will take it serious and try to continue the culture that, you know, the 91ers and the 99ers and all of them instilled within all of us. So that is my hope.
Carly Lloyd, before you go, you are the first female ambassador for Tech Ball USA. Tell us about Tech Ball and how people can get involved with it.
Yeah, Tech Ball has been skyrocketing on the rise, which is really great to see. I'm very honored to be the first female ambassador for them. You know, 2020 was obviously a very challenging year for many people. I had knee surgery during that year, and I was home for 10 months straight, which was amazing. And I happened to see, you know, Ronaldinho, Messi, a lot of these players playing on this table. And I'm like, wow, this looks really cool. I've always been a big believer and a big fan in soccer tennis. You know, works your touch, works your awareness, works your accuracy with passing and all of those things. So I was really curious about this table. It's curved. It looks a lot easier than what it is. It's actually really, really hard. All the players, I think, make it look very easy. But I happened to get a table during 2020. I started using it during my recovery. And it just kind of grew into, you know, organic conversations. And here we are now. I mean, it's pretty exciting. Their goal of the sport is to become an Olympic sport by LA 28. So I'm looking forward to getting more involved and, you know, staying around the game, a little bit of a different game, but it's something really fun. I enjoy watching, and it's challenging even for me. So, and I think what the biggest thing about it is it's not a lot of running. So, you know, most people can do it. You just got to work on your touch, but yeah, it's been really exciting and just looking forward to the opportunities that I get to go out and watch.
Carly Lloyd, ladies and gentlemen, two-time Olympic gold medalist, two-time World Cup champion. Thanks, Carly. Appreciate you jumping on with us this morning.
Thanks, Carly. Congratulations.
Yeah, no problem. Appreciate it. Thanks, guys.
Mm-hmm. Play along with us and download the ESPN Tournament Challenge app to fill out your brackets. Filling out brackets with ESPN is free and easy. Let's get back to the NBA.
Waxing the Lakers, who within the last three games are trailing 61 points. After the first quarter.
Wow.
The last three games.
I know we have to talk about them because it's LeBron James. We shouldn't be talking about
no,
the Lakers.
No, at all.
At all. Like, it's starting to feel like a waste of breath. I've been trying to tell you guys, when somebody shows you who they are,
believe them.
Believe them.
Carl Anthony Towns scored 16 of his 30 points in the fourth quarter to help the Timberwolves beat the Lakers 124-104. Boy, Cat had an off night, huh? 16 of 30, only 30?
That's it?
Half of what he did the previous game. So the T-Wolves got their ninth win in their last 10 games. In one particular sequence that went viral, Russell Westbrook airballed a corner three with 3 minutes and 58 seconds left. Towns then made fun of Westbrook, and this is what Russ had to say about that after the game.
I honestly don't pay no mind to it. Maybe the other guys are, and then they weren't talking to me. They were talking to individual guys particularly, but the trash talking doesn't bother me none. Nobody over there has done anything that in this league that, you know, make me put my eyes up. Like, oh, they're talking mess. Let me respond. No.
Oh, no. Like, Russ is laughing at what the guys on the other side have not yet accomplished in his career. But there are some things, Jay Key, that tip me off as being overly defensive when athletes answer questions. One of the go-tos I've heard is like, you know, I go, I have a beautiful family and da-da-da. Like, yes, we know, of course, great, that's good for you, and everyone is genuinely happy that that's the case. But what we're really talking about here is the field of competition. And when I start hearing athletes go to the other place, I'm like, oh, well, is that like kind of a raising up of the white flag? We're not going to win. I'm not going to win on this field. Well, that's why we're asking the questions. When I hear stuff like snickering at what a dude hasn't yet done in his career, but right now they're better than you, I'm like, oh, you're reaching that's, for things yeah, that are outside man. The scope of the conversation because you have to. I hate seeing Westbrook in that
See,
position.
You feel that way about it, though, mm-hmm. Max? Mm-hmm. Me as an athlete that has had to answer that question many times over about games, bad games, missed balls, whatever the case is, or somebody saying something, you laugh at it because it is a joke to you. As a player, like if you say, well, you're not better than this person and this person did that, well, that's your opinion. That's not my opinion of who I am as a player. So I could see where Russ would laugh it off. It's like, dude ain't even, yeah, I might be struggling this year, and I might be having some bad situations, but if you look at my body of work over the course of my career, they ain't accomplished anything I've accomplished. Rather than go into it so deeply, he just shortened it by snickering and laughing it off.
He's not wrong about that, Jay.
No,
Westbrook's much more accomplished than those guys.
Can I tell you something, Max? So when I got hurt and I was trying to come back into the league, somebody very, very close to me who has a prominent position in the NBA suggested I see a sports psychologist. And one of the things that I learned throughout that process there for like a year on and off was that a lot of times as an athlete, we internalize our frustrations. We don't really communicate them. So a lot of times when fans are hearing us at the podium, it's kind of like the first time we're kind of processing the information in real time. So you're seeing a lot of those habits that come out. And I think for Russ, almost to a degree, he may have been laughing at, but it's almost a defense mechanism kicks in. Because in a way, you're telling yourself, well, I'm still this guy because that's how I've achieved the level of success I've been able to accomplish. Like, you have to tell yourself something first, and over and over and over again. It's a little bit psychotic when you think about it. But almost in a way, like, he's a shell of himself right now. And that's why I said before, like, there is this whole mental side of this for him that I feel bad as an athlete, because when he was in OKC, you could put up numbers. It wasn't equating to winning, but people still weren't calling you a loser, right? Like, this didn't really happen until – I'm not saying he's not a loser at all, but, like, the public sometimes can frame those type of conversations. When he got to Houston, it got a little bit more real because then all of a sudden they were in the mix for a playoff position and admit something with James. But this is the most pressure and scrutiny he's been under his entire career. When you play with LeBron James, and Key, I've heard J.R. Smith talk about this. He's like, yo, this just comes with a different territory every single day, every single part of your game or everything you say that's being broken down on a national stage.
So it's
different.
It's just not LeBron James.
Exactly.
It's just not him playing with LeBron James. It's him playing in his hometown in city in which he grew up in, and he wanted to play for the Lakers. So the pressure of letting the Laker fan base down certainly seems like it has kind of gotten the best of him to a degree.
That's interesting, Key. You think that his – because Westbrook's always, to me, had that kind of personality, as I mentioned earlier in the show. When things aren't going right, he never eases up. He needs to pull harder because he wants it so bad.
And
so,
he hasn't eased up. He's still going to the cup. He didn't shoot the ball that much last night, but he's still out there going 100 miles an hour.
But should he go 95, in other words? You know what I mean? Like,
he don't know how to go 95.
He doesn't know how. That's what – it's almost –
it's too late, man,
I got to tell
95.
You, Key, to me it's like a tragedy. I'll tell you why. All he knows is to go 100, to mash the pedal. Mm-hmm. And when things are not going right, mash it harder, right? And we see him now trying so hard. And your point that you made, the reason I jumped in on it, was because that's one of the things that kind of pulls at the heartstrings. You see he wants it so bad, maybe too much, that it's backfiring in L.A. where he wants it most of all. And he's being mocked by other players. Key, that's got to be devastating. I don't care what he says publicly.
Well, he's going to carry a certain screen in front of him in the public. He's going to shield his emotions publicly because that's just, you know, as Jay said, it's a defense mechanism to a degree. And I don't know if you guys remember several months ago when we were having a similar conversation, and I talked about someone that was working Russ out in the summertime that I had a conversation with, just talked about how he was trying to get him to slow down a little bit in the workouts, but he just, that's just his, you know, whatever, 20 years of doing this, it's hard 20 years in, meaning college into the pros, going 100 miles an hour. It's just, all of a sudden, you want him to drive like a Pinto and not like a Ferrari, and it's not going to happen.
Yeah, it's not going to happen.
I just, you know, I know it's the pressure to come back playing in L.A. where he's from, but there is even an added additional pressure on him, Key, when LeBron James at the age of 37 years old is dropping multiple 50-point games.
Of course.
Right? In order for them to stay in position for a 9 seed. Like, that's what we're talking about right now. We're not talking about his performance being lackluster and then being a 4 or 5 seed. We're talking about them potentially missing the playoffs with a Hall of Famer who has not lived up to the expectation even where close.
It's tough to watch. I always said that what Kobe said about the Lakers is it's not playing for the Lakers, not for everyone. It requires a certain, and I always assumed it was for Russell Westbrook. And the thing that is heartbreaking to me watching this unfold is it's not. It's not.
It just might be in a bad situation, though, right?
I mean, the team's not well constructed either.
Yeah,
no
it
doubt,
might just be a bad deal. And because it's a bad deal, it looks really, really bad, so to speak.
We are presented by Progressive Insurance. Coming up next, which teams will be on upset alert early in the NCAA tournament?
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Yes, he's so fresh and so clean, and he's with us now. ESPN college basketball analyst, co-host of Bald Men on Campus podcast, the great Jay Billis, ladies and gentlemen. Good morning, Jay.
Good morning, gentlemen. How you doing?
All righty-o.
Jay is being brought to you by Wendy's Breakfast, the official breakfast of March Madness. And speaking of which region will produce the most madness this March, do you think, Jay?
That's a good question. I think I'm looking at it, Max, more from the seed lines. So I think the weakest number one seed is Baylor. And it's not that they're not really good. They are. But they've, you know, they talk about body of work, and that's what got them a number one seed. But they don't have all the bodies that produce that body of work. They've had injuries, and L.J. Cryer is still not 100%. He hasn't played toward the end of the season. But the 6-11 line is really good for people looking for upsets. Mm-hmm. And for those that haven't turned their brackets in yet, one of the things to consider with all these upsets is pick an upset where you think that neither team in that game is going to advance past the second round, that they're going to lose their next game. That way you don't blow up your own bracket. But in the 6-11 upsets, like Michigan is better than Colorado State. The only problem, Devontae Jones, their point guard, is still in concussion protocol, so he's not going to play. And that should be a problem for Michigan, but they can still win that game. South Dakota State over Providence is a fair pick, even though it's a 4-13 game, because South Dakota State can really score and they can really shoot it. And those kind of teams can be really dangerous. And then Virginia Tech over Texas. I think actually Virginia Tech's a better team as an 11th seed. They're certainly playing better now, and they present some matchup problems for Texas. So I don't know if that necessarily answers your question, but I do think the Midwest region, there's going to be some things that happen there with Iowa, Wisconsin. You know, Miami against USC, that 7-10 game, Miami's a really difficult matchup for USC because it pulls their big guys away from the lane and makes them guard out on the perimeter. And Miami likes to trap ball screens and force turnovers. They get about 9 steals a game. So that's a potential 10-7 upset in the Midwest.
Which of the top seeds, though, should be on upset alert? I know we talked about, 7-10 and things, but what are the top seeds who should be on upset alert?
Well, I think the number one seeds, stay away from all those 16-1. If you're thinking that they're going to lose, they may lose in the second round when they play an 8 or a 9, because those are usually major conference big shots that have had ups and downs but are still capable. But all-time key, one seeds are 143-1 in the first round since 1985. The only team that slipped on a banana peel was Virginia in 2018 when they lost to UMBC. And even two seeds, they're 135-9 since 1985. They hardly ever lose. So the ones and twos, I would stay away from those in the first round. But I still think Baylor, when they play probably North Carolina or Marquette in the second, well, it's North Carolina or Marquette, but I think it's probably North Carolina because they can rebound a little bit better than Marquette. And Baylor, with those injuries, they would have to play UCLA if the seeds hold in the Sweet 16. Purdue could get beat by Virginia Tech in the second round. If it's Texas, I think Purdue wins. But if it's Virginia Tech, Purdue could have a problem with them. I still like Wisconsin as a potential 3 seed that could make it through to the Elite Eight and give Arizona a hard time. But other than that, look, somebody's going to lose. It's just a question of picking these things out, and usually it's matchup dependent. And some of the games that are forward, like even when we know the matchups, if a team has a hot shooting night, one of the things is tempo to watch for. That's why I like Loyola Chicago against Ohio State. Loyola Chicago keeps the tempo down. That's in the South region, the 10-7 game. Loyola Chicago only gives up like 6 points per game in transition. So you're not going to get easy baskets on them. It's probably the equivalent in baseball of having to go against a knuckleball pitcher for 9 innings. It's just going to be a different game for Ohio State.
Jay Billis with us, ESPN college basketball analyst, obviously. Keyshawn, J. Willimax, ESPN Radio. So give me one that would give me a something that would qualify as a Cinderella this year, Jay.
Yeah, Max, it depends on what you mean by Cinderella. A lot of the double-digit seeds this year that are attractive are major conference teams. And I think a lot of us have identified Virginia Tech, because Virginia Tech's record doesn't reflect how good that team is. They had an odd start to ACC play where they went 0-4 and then 2-7. But they play an amazing style of offense. They run a lot of ball screens and they shoot behind those. They've got a bunch of different shooters and guys that can handle and pass. And then they've got two really tough matchups. Keve Aluma, their center, is really a stretch four, and he can play out on the perimeter, knock down a three. He can go into a dribble handoff, keep it and drive it. And he can face you up. He can take a smaller matchup down in the post. And then they've got a player named Justin Mutz, who's about 6'8". He's their best passer. And one of the funny things about Mutz, like, you know, guys like me will say, well, this guy's got triple-double ability. Well, he's got a triple-double. He had a triple-double against Syracuse. Those matchups are going to be really difficult for Texas and then potentially Purdue. So it wouldn't surprise me to see Virginia Tech make it to the Sweet 16. I don't think they would beat Kentucky. I think Kentucky presents too many problems if they play well for Virginia Tech, but it wouldn't be a shocker to see Virginia Tech make it as an 11 seed to the Elite Eight, where they would probably, my guess is they'd probably have to play UCLA there. I like UCLA in tournament play because they can play at different speeds and they've got a bunch of different playmakers, and they've done it before. They did it last year going to the Final Four.
This is Kate Keyshawn, Jay Will and Max, and that is Jay Billis, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks, Jay.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Keyshawn, Jay Will and Max, the podcast.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day. But sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
You can vote every day on Twitter at KeyJ and Max and produce the last segment of the show. What should we talk about? Freddie Freeman to L.A.? Got 22% of the vote, which was more than another Lakers loss. People, I'm telling you, are just getting tired of it. Only got 12%. Von Miller to the Bills. Key and I just chopped that up. Got 31%. Was that the most? Nope. It's what's next for Baker. Squeaking it out. 35% of the vote. So, without further ado, Key, Jay, Diana Russini, ESPN NFL reporter, of course, on ESPN Radio on Baker's tenure in Cleveland. Listen.
It's over. That's basically how I'm looking at it in Cleveland. How do you move on from here, right? Like, how do you now say, well, Baker, we actually do like you. You are great. We do believe in you. And no, it's not going to work. It's not going to work. It wasn't handled in the best ways based on Baker's people, and it seems that Cleveland is ready to see what else is out there.
Max, Jay, Key, have you ever, and I'm serious here, it's okay to let the people in on your personal young lives. Mm-hmm. Have you ever had been interested in someone that kind of, you know, you thought it was going a certain direction, and then they decided they wanted to go do something else, then come back and try to be interested in you, and you're like, nah, I'm good?
Yes, you think I've always been this handsome? I get more handsome as I get older. I didn't always look like this. Yes, I have experienced that, yes.
Well, this is what Baker Mayfield's getting ready to go through. He's getting ready to go through that with the Cleveland Browns, because if they don't land Deshaun Watson – they've got to now figure out how to try and court Baker Mayfield back if they can't have a plan B at the quarterback position.
They throw a few bucks Jameis Winston's way, you know?
Yeah, but why you want to pay for something just to be paying for it, right?
Well, only because if it's what you said.
Are you buying it? You got to buy it now?
See, to me, I think you try to patch it up with Baker. But, Key, you beat me in the head with this till you convinced me, I think. If it ain't going to work with Baker, you're better off saving a few bucks, getting another quarterback who's more or less the same thing.
But it could have worked with Baker. The problem is you dropped the ball by how you treated Baker in the process of courting something else.
Mm. You see, I think sometimes in business you have to take a slice of humble pie.
And in life.
And I think at times, look, I would have went for Deshaun Watson. Deshaun
Absolutely.
Watson is a top five quarterback.
No question.
If it doesn't work, Key, you know what I need to do as Andrew Berry? If I don't feel there's a better option out there, which I don't think there is, hey, Baker, I made a horrible mistake. I mean, I went after it.
Yeah,
it wasn't
but
the right
feelings
thing.
Hurt. My feelings are hurt.
I understand that.
No, my feelings
so
are hurt.
So let's talk about how we could get this done and how we could repair your feelings.
No, I don't. Because I don't know that they're. I don't know that the, you can repair.
Great, I'm getting a second round pick for you. I'm signing Jameis Winston. I mean, like, you know, if it's really like that, if it's really like that, and I hear you, Key, like James, there's a way you
Jameis,
can go.
But, okay, so here we go again, Max. What if Jameis goes to Seattle?
I'll find someone almost as good.
See,
as
you can't. I don't think it's that easy. You can't just go get her,
Jimmy
you
Garoppolo.
Can't just
I think
find
you really
her.
Have to be sensitive with his feelings. But there, but Key, here's the one thing that kind of blew my mind when Chris Mortensen came out this report the other day. They want an adult in the wow. Wow. When you hear that from an organization, like if you're Baker, are you want an adult? Like, so, like, that.
Here's Chris Mortensen, since you brought it up on a 3 p.m. SportsCenter special from yesterday, ESPN NFL Insider. Chris Mortensen on the special, which followed this just in, 2 p.m. Eastern, ESPN.
Handsome host.
Absolutely. Here's Chris Mortensen.
I believe they're breaking up, regardless of whether or not Deshaun Watson ends up in Cleveland. And the one thing I was told is that it's just not a match emotionally. Whereas Baker Mayfield's passion and emotional leadership was embraced at Oklahoma, and even in the beginning with the Browns, things have changed. And they want what they consider an adult at that position.
I mean, when you hear that, that is a punch to the kidneys, Max.
Well, what Key said, Key, when you said, I get it, the way they went about it, I bring this up from time to time on the air and in life. It was from one of those Gladwell books you buy at the airport. I forgot which one. But like malpractice lawsuits, I believe it was Gladwell, malpractice lawsuits for doctors are much more closely correlated with bedside manner than results. Think about that. So the way you go about doing things affects people, whether they feel respected or disrespected. And Key, I think you're right. The way Cleveland went about it must have made Baker feel disrespected. But Key, based on what Mort just said and what Jay is talking about, maybe they did it that way because they were like, you know what? Enough with this guy.
No, they didn't do it that way because of that. They just dropped the ball. That's all. Look, man, I've been traded, right? When I was traded from the Jets to Tampa Bay, they didn't abruptly trade me without talking to me. They sat down. Bill sat me down, talked to me, said, hey, here's what we want to do. We don't want to set a precedent here by ripping up your contract with 2 years left on it. So what I want to do is I want to get some value for you. I want to let you go try and win a championship and get your money. And if it doesn't work out, then, well, it's going to work because you're going to make it work is what he said. That's basically he stopped. And he said, well, you're going to make it work. I'm not even worried about that. But for some reason it doesn't work, it's just business. And I'm like, oh, yeah, it's cool. I wouldn't have had a problem going back to the Jets if it didn't work out via the trade and they didn't get what they were supposed to get.
The way he went about it, in other words.
It was how he presented it to me, and he went about doing that. But when you don't do it that way.
But he wasn't trading you because he had enough of a routine of yours, Key. He was trading you because he didn't want to pay you and set a precedent, right?
But not wanting. I don't give a damn about no precedent. Yeah, you got to pay me for my services.
Right. That's why he's dealing you. But in Baker's case, what they're saying is, that dude's better than you. But maybe also, when I hear Mort report that they want an adult, maybe also they did it that way, it's in some way to turn him off intentionally.
It feels like when that gets leaked, that's done.
Or maybe it's not intentionally, but at least they didn't care enough about him at that point to do it carefully.
If it gets leaked that you have not been an adult, that's me saying that you're immature and that you whine. And I don't want that on my team.
Yeah,
so I don't see how that can repair. And it makes you think, though, like, all right, well, who really needs to be the adult in this situation? Because I've watched this dude, Baker, battle through injuries and ride with you guys. Maybe you guys, and maybe these things aren't, you know, external with the public knowing all the details, but maybe you guys should act more like an adult with the way you're handling this situation. It makes me think that way sometimes.
Yeah, and one thing that you could point to tell you a lot is how the locker room responds to this and how they're treating Baker Mayfield. Yes, you get Duke Johnson. Baker Mayfield went to Duke Johnson a couple years ago when he was released or traded to the Houston Texans. He said what he had to say. OBJ leaves. said what he had to say. Landry wants out. It is what it is. But you don't hear anybody today, not yesterday, not a month ago, coming to Baker Mayfield's defense.
Yeah, you ain't lying about that.
The silence is deafening.
Man, that's tough.
This is a reminder. Fill out your brackets on the Tournament Challenge app. Got to go do that. Today's the last day. Jay?
I filled out mine.
It's got my moment. Keith? I'm just asking.
Max? I'm filling out mine right now.
You know what I'm talking about? Do you know what I'm talking about, Max? Keith. Give me my moment. When you do your sign-off, let's go.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.